Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. Thank you so much for being with us today. I am excited. We've got an unbelievable guest today. We've got Christian Kelleher from Montevallo, or the University of Montevallo. He is a senior baseball player down there, having a fantastic career and doing some even more amazing things out in the world. It is a pleasure to have you. How's it going tonight, Christian?
Good. Thank you for having me on. You made me sound a lot better than I appreciate it.
I know. I want someone to hype me up like this in real life too. I'm gonna hire a hype man everywhere I go. So it's kind of nice. So obviously you guys are staying really busy. It is, as we're recording right now, it is early November. There's a good chance this will drop in a couple of weeks. So we are edging up to the beginning of baseball season. So tell me a little bit, just give me a preview. What can we expect this year from the Falcons?
Gosh, I've been here for 4 years, so this is my fourth year. Mm-hmm. So I've been on a lot of different teams, right? So the fall, you're kind of figuring everybody out, right? It's kind of slow. You're trying to figure out what the team's going to be like, people, you know, like not even just the baseball side.
Sure.
Well, I can say confidently this year is the closest we've ever had a team. So that's something that I'm super pumped for, because when the spring starts coming and you're playing from January to hopefully June, early June, that's a long time with a lot of people that you're spending almost 7 days a week with. So I'm very pumped just with the whole team aspect.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is like full-time family. And I love the optimism play into early June. So a lot of our listeners have probably already caught your coaches episode. Yeah. We had Coach Rose on here about a month ago. And I know he would love for the season to end in Cary, North Carolina, right? That's the that is the goal and the destination. So tell me a little bit, what position are you playing?
I'm a catcher.
Catcher. So that is kind of like the captain on the field. So you talked about getting to know your teammates. I feel like that's kind of the catcher's role more than any other, where you are kind of the captain on the field, and that spills over into the locker room a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Like, we have, I think, 21 pitchers. So I'm dealing with not only those pitchers, but also the guys on the field. We're having to command and lead them, and they got to trust you, right? Because if you're not very trustworthy, then it's and kind of mess the team dynamic up. So I've definitely had to learn that you kind of have to have that slow heartbeat back there.
Yeah. So obviously your role has probably evolved a lot over the last 4 years. So, you know, now here you are, senior catcher. That puts a lot of leadership responsibility on you, far beyond just what's happening, you know, inside the line. So tell me a little bit about that leadership journey from being a starry-eyed freshman, right, to here we are kind of running the show at Montevallo.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would say it, starry-eyed freshman. I think it starts with that freshman year and the people you're around. I was blessed to have great seniors when I was freshman. We had 18 seniors, which is the most we've had since I've been here. And they helped guide me and kind of show me the ropes. So I was able to, you know, grow my sophomore, junior year, and now I'm into my senior year. I'm able to know what it looks like to be a good senior and a good leader on the team. So really, it's just looking up to the people that are older than you when you're in that younger stage.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of a fascinating dynamic, because I think a lot of times as coaches, we want to own that responsibility. Yeah. But good coaches realize that, look, man, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but my team is going to act how my best players and how my veteran or my senior leaders behave. So have you had some of those conversations with Coach Rose or some of your coaches as your role has evolved? Has it been more direct, like, hey, Christian, this is part of your role now? Or is it more something you've just sort of picked up and grown into along with some of your other senior teammates?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some small conversations here and there, and really he just kind of drops these hints whenever we're talking as a group and saying, hey, I mean, you know, you older guys, you need to, you know, step up here, and you always want to be that guy. You don't want to be the upperclassman that's not, you know, trying to lead everybody and, you know, not use your age as a gift, right? I'm only 22, so I'm not, I'm not saying I'm super old, but
But in that environment, though, you are like the old guy, right? I remember when your coach was like a red shirt senior because he had a couple like injuries, and everyone's called him like grandpa. I'm like, he's like 24, right?
know, I just had my birthday on Saturday and I turned 22, and all the freshmen are like, "Man, you're old now. You're old." And I'm like, "Well, I'm only 4 years older than you, so let's relax." But yeah, it's pretty.
It is funny. I remember in college, like, yeah, like 30 seems like 100. And now, like, when you see like a 30-year-old coach, you're like, wow, that is so young, right? I mean, it is all relative. But yeah, to some of these guys, I mean, you have, and that's it. Those are some big formative years, right? I mean, you look at the person you were as a high school senior versus the person you are as a college senior. I don't know that there's any 4-year period of life where you're going to have more just massive seismic growth, like in the way you lead and see the world. So obviously it's been a fantastic experience at Montebello. And I know, we've talked before. I know you absolutely love it there. You guys have built, and it's just a fantastic program. And so you are a relatively local kid too, right?
I
You
am.
grew up in Alabama, correct?
Yeah, so I grew up 30 minutes down the road in a small, well, I'll say small, it's growing, but it's called Chelsea, Alabama. So yeah, I mean it, I've always known about Montevallo, and when I came on my visit here, it was honestly just like a dream where it's like, all right, I'm gonna be 30 minutes from home. I can be just close enough to go home, but just far enough where I can kind of live that kind of college experience, So it's been good here.
So when did you know that it was Montebello? Because I know you had some other options. You had an excellent like high school career, getting some all state recognition, all kinds of like awards and accolades. So Montebello is a great program, but I would assume it wasn't the only option. So how did you know Montebello was the place?
Yeah, I had a few options for sure, but I mean, I came down on my visit, and kudos to Coach Rose and the coaching staff that was there. They did a great job kind of helping me envision what the next 4 years were going to look like. Just as an athlete there, not saying, hey, you're going to play all 4 years or anything crazy, just showing you their mindset. And I wanted to play for a coach like him. He is a winner, and he would really put an emphasis on just growing you as a man, and not just as a baseball player. And that was really huge for me and my family. And honestly, I got in the car and I was like, Dad, can I call coach back and tell him I'm ready to go? Like, I want to commit today. And he's like, let's think about it and pray about it, and we'll see. But I think I ended up calling the next day or two, and I was like, hey, I'm coming to Montevallo, coach.
Nice work, Coach. Way to sign and seal and deliver, man. Good job, Coach Rose. So, obviously Montebello is, you guys have had a lot of success at the D2 level. You've made some pretty good conference runs, and hopefully this is the year, right? It turns into NCAA tournament and a little bit further and beyond. So, but as you back up to your high school career, obviously you're familiar with the program. So at what point, if you even recall growing up, did you realize like, hey man, I more than love baseball. Like, this is something I want to do, not just in high school. Like, this is what I want to do when I get to college and play as long as I can. So at what point did that start to become the focus?
Yeah, so I mean, growing up, I mean, I had parents that they helped me out a lot. They helped push me in the right direction. So I've always kind of loved the game, and I got to high school, and I kind of was a late bloomer. I wasn't very big. I'm already not a huge guy, but I was probably 5'9", a 140 soaking wet. And I mean, I wasn't big at all. I didn't think college baseball was in the cards for me. And
Sure.
then my junior summer, I made huge leaps in just my size. So that kind of helped pique that interest. I think that's what really made me see that I could play college baseball. Not ever doubted that I could, but when I started, getting some interest from other teams, it made me kind of put me in another gear of like, all right, wait, I can do this. But really, I was looking at just regular colleges to go to. I was applying to Auburn and Samford and all these because I didn't think I was going to play college baseball. And then I got offered middle late of the late fall, and that's. And got I'm here, so
Nice. So how does the training change a little bit when you are, because I mean, a lot of people play just for the love of the sport, and that is wonderful, right? We can still develop tons of amazing habits, whether our journey ends in middle school, high school, college, or whether we cash a check to do it. But there's a little different level of dedication, a little different level of training, right? Just hitting a few balls in the cage and going to practice ain't going to get it done. So when you kind of flip that switch, like, okay, I want to play in college, what did your training regimen look like, right? For some of the young folks out there, or maybe parents that have that 13, 14, 15-year-old kid who wants to keep it going, How'd you kind of kick it into gear to get ready for that next step?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the nutrition side and the weight room was the biggest thing for me. Whenever I started realizing that, hey, size was going to be a factor in if I go to play college baseball, man, I was eating probably 5,000 calories a day. I don't know, I can't do it now. I don't know how I did it then, but maybe my mom was cooking so good.
I know.
And then
Protein
I would just,
shakes and freaky diets and
yes,
yeah.
I mean, oh, protein shakes 2 a day. I mean, I can't even, it makes me want to throw up thinking about it now.
Yeah.
But then one piece of advice that I got from somebody was working out with somebody that's stronger than you is the best thing you can do, because it's like with anything in life, right? If you have somebody that's just a little bit better at this than you, and you do stuff with them, you're naturally going to get better. So really just trying to do the little things right, and then the baseball side of things comes. I mean, obviously going and hitting all the time will help, but if you're doing all the little things right, you're gonna make those larger strides towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, I love that you say like getting in a gym with someone stronger than you and
Yeah.
realizing that that is applicable to almost everything,
Right.
right? I mean, I tell my young daughters all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And
Yep.
when we surround ourselves with people that push us, whether it is spiritually, whether it's academically, whether it's athletically, whether it's in our character and our community involvement, pretty amazing things happen, right? And that's
Yeah.
biblical, right? Iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
They told us that hundreds, thousands of years ago,
They
right? Yeah,
did. Yep.
the secrets are all there, man.
We better listen, right?
It's pretty good advice. It's
Yeah.
definitely pretty good advice. So when you were talking about getting stronger, was it just trying to put on weight? Because you're about 6 foot now, right? You're not like a
Yeah.
tiny,
Yeah.
not a
Now I'm
smaller
six
guy.
foot, around 185. That's where I float around.
Okay.
But yeah, just trying to get stronger. I mean, stronger doesn't always mean you're going to be 6 foot, 225. You can get stronger and still be at like a
Sure.
lower weight. But yeah, I was trying to put on size. That's what I thought I needed to do. And once I got into college, I realized, yeah, that is important, but also you need to take care of your body. I've had a few injuries over the years, and I've
Yeah.
noticed that maybe we need to do some mobility here and strengthen some of those muscles that aren't your biceps and your triceps.
Yeah. More
So
go than show.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
I get, no, I definitely remember those days being like 6'2", like 145, 150. And I found what really helped me put on weight was turning 40. So something to look forward to, Christian. See if that works out for you. So I know you had a pretty significant injury. Was it your junior year, sophomore year, where you
Yeah,
missed
so last year,
so you missed almost the entirety of the season, right?
yeah, so I think I played in 11 games, but I got hurt in the fourth one and tried to keep going, and it just didn't. I didn't end up having to have surgery and
Oof.
put me out the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about that one from Coach Rose. I think people who listen to the show know that's my brother-in-law and big fan of his, not just as a coach, but as a human being. But I know that was a tough injury for the squad. But obviously, I'm sure that's tough on you too. So we can be a little personal, right? I mean, you are 1 year away from graduating. You're engaged to the love of your life. You're getting ready to graduate, and life is great. Had to take a lot of resolve to go through the rehab to come back. I mean, there's probably a lot of athletes at this point in their careers that just say, you know what, it's been a good run and I'm on to something else. So where did you find that resolve to go through all that rehab for one more run?
Yeah. So this is going to sound crazy, but I think the best thing that could have happened to me in my career was having a season-ending injury, and not just my baseball career, but just like my walk with the Lord. So I noticed that whenever I got hurt, you kind of have an identity crisis, right? You're going to the field, but you can't do nothing, and it's peak season, and everybody's having fun. Your best friends are out there playing, and you don't even see the future of you playing because you're in a sling, right, for 6 weeks. So I really had to lean on him and know where my identity's at, and it's not in the game. I had to really, we talked about it in our podcast, but I had to, self-reflect, look back, and be like, all right, I play baseball, but I'm not a baseball player. I'm one of God's sons, and he's there for me, and I had to really lean on him and put my identity more into him. So yeah, I think it helped me grow as a human being, honestly. And then now that I'm playing baseball, I really am more gracious for it and have
Yeah.
more gratitude for it.
Is it more fun now? Now
Yeah.
that's
Oh,
been taken away and now you have it back, does it feel like
yes.
almost like a Christmas present now under the tree?
Yeah, exactly. I come to the field, and honestly, I'm just happy to be there with the guys. I love being around the guys and having good relationships with them. My favorite thing is going and just talking to everybody. And then, oh, wait, I get to go hit. I get to go do fun stuff too. It's just, it's great.
See, I love that you say that, that helped you kind of find your focus and admitted that there's a little bit of an identity crisis. So one of the real blessings of playing faith is I think I've had about a dozen conversations now with college athletes over the last couple of weeks, and I'm finding that almost exact sentence comes out over and over again. I struggled with my sport being my identity. I struggled to remember my sport is not who I am. What matters is whose I am. And we hear it over and over and over again. And if I'm hearing it from incredibly successful, strong Christian athletes, mature athletes like you, I just can't imagine how hard this is for the average high school kid that has these dreams, that may have some family or community pressure to be that athlete, right? So, any advice you would have for young athletes on how do you find that peace and that balance while still being very driven and goal-oriented, but knowing that those goals are wonderful, but it's not the entirety of who I am? How do you balance that?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, it does, the sport does not define you at all. And if it is, then you need to look back at it and realize that, hey, my life is not dependent on how I do in my sport. But really, I think it's all about taking the small wins. I've really had to see that too, especially coming back from a season-ending shoulder injury. You're having to take a lot of small wins. Hey, I got to hit off the tee today for the first time. That's a win. So I think that's a huge thing that I didn't do when I was in high school. I was wanting to hit the next homer, hit the next game winning double. And, you got to start taking those smaller wins. Oh, I had a good AB, or man, I was able to pick up my teammate here and look, he hit the game winning homer. It's just a lot of taking the small wins. Then you look back at your whole season or just your life and you start seeing the bigger wins that started stacking on to each other. So it's pretty beautiful, honestly, looking at it that way.
Nice. Well, I'm glad the journey is coming out positive on the other side. And obviously, we're going to be praying for you guys to have a big time season this year and just make the most of this senior season, have a nice run. And so I know you've leaned on your faith a lot throughout your career. I know that you have started up a podcast. It's what the Victory Podcast, where you are talking a lot about some of the same ideas that we are, right? This intersection of faith and athletics. I know it's starting to really catch on. So tell me a little bit about that mission and, why you decided to launch it.
Yeah, so it kind of started, the idea started last year when I was hurt. So I was like, man, I want to help somebody, right? I don't care if it's just one or two people, but I want people to hear my voice and then show my faith and know that you can be an athlete and still be a Christian. Because I feel like, being in a college locker room, sometimes you're the outcast. So I really wanted to show that you can be bold. Our big thing is being bold. So we fast forward to the beginning of this year. I come up to one of my teammates, Mac Turner. He's my co-host. We're co-host, and I was like, "Hey, man, you have this light about you," and he's been trying to get really strong in his walk with the Lord. And I was like, "Hey, how about you do this with me?" And we go in do this podcast together. So now we're doing it every week, and really,
Awesome.
again, our mission is just to normalize Christianity in the locker room and just in sports in general. Like, we want it to be something that is cool to do, right? Like, you don't have to feel like the outcast in doing it. And that's why so our first six episodes are all our teammates, right? So, and it sparked up so many conversations outside of the podcast and just at the baseball field. And that's where I've seen God show me, hey, this is something that you need to be doing and putting time into. So it's been awesome.
I love it. And I think there's a national movement to this where I had this conversation with a pastor from a huge church who has like a sports-based ministry up here. And he phrased it really well. He goes, I believe God is platforming athletes right now. And you look at almost every NFL game, I mean, quarterbacks you would not have associated necessarily with deep faith are almost giving sermons after games and even after heartbreaking losses, where I feel like when I was a kid, it was praise God when we win, and then when you lost, they just sort of shuffled off the lock. I guess God was rooting for the other team today. And you know, we're seeing so much more of that. So I think you're definitely in the right spot at the right time. And so what was it like when you started approaching some of your teammates, right? So, as we just for full disclosure for everybody else, Montevallo, wonderful school. Unlike some of the folks we interview, it is not a specifically Christian university. It is a public school where, you know, if you're at a all Christian school where chapel is part of your daily mission, probably pretty safe to walk in the locker room and say, "Who wants to come on the Victory Podcast?" But at a public school, maybe not quite the automatic open door. So how did you start talking to some of your teammates, and maybe what kind of gave you the confidence or the boldness to be willing to do this?
I mean, honestly, it's you have to pray for that type of stuff. Like, I prayed a lot for the confidence and the wisdom, because my biggest thing was, hey, I don't want to say something that pushes something away or someone away from all this, right? But I've had to pray for the wisdom and just trust that God's given it to me and has allowed me to speak the right words. But the confidence thing, I think my age and seniority has helped with that. I'll say a lot of that has been one of the bigger parts, and having people, I have influence on the team. I'm older, and I wanted to use that in the right way. But like you said, you come into a school that is not Christian, so you don't know where everybody lands. Like you don't just assume. But that's the coolest part to me, that I can, spark a conversation with somebody, and not know. I like that part of it.
So, have you caught any of the downside yet? Because I've warned my wife, like, as this gets bigger and this mission gets bigger, and in our little town, you know, it's totally normal. Like, hey, where do you go to church? Yeah, I've lived a lot of places where that's certainly not the first question. And I've lived parts of my life where that I wouldn't have had a good answer for you. So, you know, and I've warned her, like, look, as this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, there's going to be someone who doesn't like you or doesn't like this for no other reason, nothing personal, but just boom, you stand for this. I disagree with you. Have you run into any awkwardness yet as you've gotten a little more bold about your faith? Or have you found that people are just sort of like, hey, man, I respect where you're coming from?
Yeah, honestly, at this point, that's kind of how it's been. It's just I haven't had any awkward moments or encounters like that. I kind of hope I do. I feel like it'll help me show the love that my God has.
Awesome, awesome.
But I haven't. I mean, I'm trying to think, but I don't think I've had any weird encounters or any pushback or any like anything like you said.
Yeah, and I think bring it up not to put you on the spot where I'm not terribly surprised, but I think that for, I mean, even personally, when this mission kind of God planted it in my heart about a year ago and just started exploring it, I had all these crazy what ifs. Is this going to influence other areas of my career? Will this close doors that and other professional opportunities? And realized one, it absolutely has not. It's opened more. And then two, I don't care. And it's a really cool place to land, and it's just really cool to see you guys doing this at such a young age with such confidence and joy. And I have a feeling that God's going to open some pretty crazy doors for you. So,
No, I believe he will, for sure.
yeah. So as we kind of wind down, we always shoot for like 25 minutes, half hours. We kind of wind down here. I always try to picture my audience when I'm having these conversations, and we've got a lot of parents out there of athletes. And we've got a lot of young athletes. And for a lot of those families, where you've ended up is the goal. You know, look for the elite 1% of 1% where thousands of offers are rolling through the mailbox every single day. God bless you, right? God bless you with size, speed, talent, all these genetic gifts. And that's where you are, you know, wonderful. For 99.9% of us, it's a much more proactive approach to the recruiting and marketing ourselves. So what advice would you have for 14, 15, 13, 14, 15-year-old baseball players who want to take that next step, who are listening to this and trying to get some ideas? Like, what would you tell them?
So if your size, like you said, is not the 6'6", 225 pounds high schooler, like I was, it's very like your relationships are huge. I mean, I had a great relationship with my high school coach, and that helped me in my recruiting, because he was like, hey, we have this guy, and he's got potential, and he's a great teammate, he's a great guy, all those, like, I feel like that helped me out more than my actual ability on the field. So I would say just be that good teammate and build your relationships with anybody, with everybody you can. You have to outreach yourself, right? Because you're not, like you said, getting stuff in the mail every single day from all
And
these like
obviously, you're a
people.
fantastic high school baseball player, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting
Yeah.
all state recognition. So it's it's very rare that that people are just like that Vandy's camped out on your porch and like boxing out the Tennessee coach to come talk to you, right?
Right. Yeah. They were not doing that. At least I don't think. I didn't have a Ring doorbell then, so I don't know. Maybe they were. But yeah, no, I mean, the relationship, having relationships with your peers is the biggest thing. And people talk, and people like good people, and people want good people to reach their goals.
Sure.
So that's the biggest thing for me.
Well, wonderful. Well, Christian, we are absolutely going to be praying for you this season. I'm glad you are
Appreciate it.
healthy. I hope to see you playing in Cary, North Carolina early in June
Yeah.
in the
Yep.
little World Series action. If so, I will absolutely be there in the bleachers cheering and screaming. So one more
Hey.
time for everybody at home, and we'll drop it in the pod notes too. How can they come find your podcast and listen to some of the stories you're telling with some of your teammates about sports and faith?
Yeah, so you can check us out on anything. It's called The Victory Podcast, and we're on Instagram, TikTok, and then we also have links to YouTube, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. So that's where we're at. The Victory Podcast is what it was.
All right, the Victory Podcast. Well, Christian, thank you for coming on Playing Faith.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, we are so pumped that you are back and healthy. We are going to be praying for you. Let's go Falcons, and we'll have to sit down and chat again sometime soon later on this season as you guys make a deep tourney run.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith Podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.